This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It's been an exciting week. But you know what? God is good. God is good. All is well. And it's nice. It's just nice to get to the place. Oh, I needed to mail this. We're going to have to stop and mail that. That's my bill for the plumber. It's, you know, it is wonderful to be at the place in life where you have seen the provision and the kindness of God for so long that your first response when something goes wrong is to think, yeah, this will be fine. We'll get this figured out. It'll be fine. And also to not be concerned or worried about just saying, okay, we need to get some help. Let's get this done and we'll get this done. So we were closing. We're closing the month for this week for my major client. And we've been puttering along with that. We've had a little bit of excitement here and there, but we've been able to get it resolved and everything's great and ta-da. So we had moved reporting servers. So this was the first end of month close we had done with the new reporting server. And in fact, there was a problem, fairly minor. We were able to track down pretty quickly what the issue was. And it's just one of those little small deep bugs, you know. And so we took care of that. And then we launched into, for World Missions, we launched into our end of month process and we got into one section and it just hung. And so, you know, we're looking, of course, if we can't get through this section, the disaster scenario is that missionaries don't get paid. We don't like those scenarios at all. We like our missionaries to get paid. You know, we started taking a look at it and we started running it in isolation to see if we could figure out what was going on. And in fact, it was stuck in an infinite loop. Because there's what's called an iterative process in there where it does loop and it was just looping and looping and looping and looping. And so once I saw that it was doing that, I knew this was in a section of code that I wasn't that familiar with it because I didn't write that section of code. And it's a little bit of a black box, at least to me, not to the programmer who wrote it, but he had since retired. And we have done our best not to call him per se, but we finally, I just looked at it. And it was Tuesday, which was the 7th. We like to have the files done by the 10th. However, the 10th happens to be a bank holiday this month for a Veterans Day, probably. So we knew that was, you know, a hard stop. And that meant we had the 8th and the 9th, and I mean, this was late Tuesday, and I just told the guys, we need to call the developer, who's retired. His name's Rusty. I said, we need to call Rusty, period. Okay, he's going to be able to get us to what is going on much faster than we will. We could probably puzzle it out ourselves, but we need to get to Rusty right now. And so they said, okay, so I called Rusty, and hey, how you doing? And this was the second time we had called him in the almost a year and 3 months, 4 months since he retired. He said, you know, it was funny. I was at a family reunion and I was telling them, yeah, they just don't even need me anymore. They haven't even called. I said, well, we're calling now. So it was good to see him again. He came in out of the kindness of his heart. He came in Wednesday, and I sat him beside me, and he guided, and within lands 30, 40 minutes, we knew what the problem was. And then we started pursuing how we best wanted to fix that. We had a little consult, and within 2-3 hours, we had decided what we were going to do. We sent those instructions along. They executed those instructions. Everything went through. Bang-gidi-bang-gidi-bang-gidi-boom-boom. So it was good. And then we went in and put in some error testing and some quality assurance testing for that particular error. And so that we would say, hey, this appears to be a problem, et cetera, et cetera. We were done by, I don't know, 2-ish or so, but we had already turned over to them about noonish, noon 30. And so they were running and everything looked great. And so, yeah. But Tuesday night, you know, we had a plan in place. We had a couple of days extra, but Tuesday night it was like, yeah, okay. So I've got other things to do now. So I just went and did those things, and it was fine because I know Jesus cares about our AGWM missionaries far more than we do. And I know he's going to help them and going to help us. Now, I will tell you that I told Jesus last night as I was crawling in bed, or early this morning when I woke up, I don't recall which, but I just told him, you know, it's so good to be on this side of that problem, which it is. It is good to be on this side of that problem. But even before I was on this side of that problem, the fact of the matter is God is good. He's helped us in the past. He'll help us in the future. He cares about the missionaries. Everything's going to be fine. So that was good, but it all worked out and it was fine. This next week, the rest of the input from the beta readers of Book 19 should be coming in, and I'll get to work Wednesday or Thursday. Thursday or Friday, I'll get to work starting the edits for Book 19 so I can put out the production version of that. That will hopefully get wrapped up by mid-December, and then I'll have a couple of weeks off and probably get started on the second half of Book 20. I'm just finishing up the rough draft writing sprint for the first half of Book 20. All that seems to be going fine. I'm hoping to be at 90,000 words. So if I can get to 90,000 words, then it's an easy write in January and February. And maybe, as I did for Book 20, I can get started early on Book 21. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. That all seems to be going fine, and I do think I know where I'm going with this book. I don't have the epilogue yet, I don't think. There's a possibility for an epilogue, but I would have to figure out something. Well, see, even as I'm sitting here thinking about it, what would be the different potential noble emotions that I could be invoked in that? There might be a possibility I could make that work for an epilogue. I had an idea. Jesus had nudged me about an idea, but I wasn't sure how I would make it work. But now, as I'm sitting here talking about it, and he whispers, what is the noble emotion you would be going to? And the noble emotion is validation. And that might work. So maybe I do have the epilogue. So there you go. On the fly, in real time, whispers from Jesus. So maybe I've got the epilogue. I don't know that I have the parable yet. Maybe if I just stop for a minute and think about it, I'd get the parable too. But I'll do some research when I get home. And there's still time to get the parable worked in. So plenty of time. So God is good. God is good. That's interesting. Yeah, no, I think I can make that work. I just hadn't thought. Yeah, okay. So that's fine. Costume day. I went ahead and did the hello. Whoa, that was not good. I was trying to avoid a bike and I got drifted over a little too far. Thank you, Jesus, I didn't hit anybody. Anyways, I did do The Lion King last weekend. That was fun. It was an interesting sociological experiment. So it was a obviously a visually arresting costume because you've got this large constructed mask on top of your head that is 3 to 4 pounds. And that was fine. It wasn't too hard to balance and, you know, had enough support in it that it was cool. So that all worked fine. But then in addition to that, you know, large element on your head, I also had a full bodysuit on underneath it, and it's just a bodysuit, and then a cape that went with it, but the cape was open and it was just made out of tulle. So it's basically just me in a bodysuit, and a fairly tight bodysuit at that. So the interesting thing sociologically about this was that, as per usual, the women were all fine. They were like, wow, that is so cool, you know, because women biologically are not engineered for visual stimulation in terms of reproductive environments for stimulation, because they don't necessarily get a dopamine hit when they are in a potential reproductive environment like guys do. So they're looking at the costume, you know, they're looking at the headdress, they're going, wow, this is cool, and it got a lot of, you know, wow, you look really good in that, blah, 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 that kind of stuff. What I didn't expect was I didn't expect the reaction of men to be equivalent to that. So obviously I expected that some of the men that I encountered would be a little bit more uncomfortable, and I expected that maybe there would be some men that would tell me that they felt uncomfortable. Potentially there would be some women that would tell me uncomfortable. My standard canned response, if I have a woman that says something like, I don't know where to look, my typical response to that is to say, now you know what men feel like all the time. But surprisingly enough, mostly older gentlemen, I was told multiple times, wow, that's a great costume. Which was a surprise. I think maybe that had something to do with I had given people something else to look at, and they were more than happy to stare at the headdress because it's fairly intricately made, and so they're more than happy to stare at that. And maybe that relieved some of the potential discomfort that men might feel. But that was very interesting. It was just very interesting to me that that worked out that way. So it was a huge relief. I actually left work a little bit early on Thursday. I probably mentioned that last week. Made it home 3:30-ish or so. Got the podcast uploaded, got something to eat, got changed, sat down to actually start working on the lion Mufasa mask. Started that about 5:30. I worked until 12:30. I thought I was going to try to do some writing last Thursday night, but that just didn't happen. We didn't have small groups because it was also Halloween week, and so there was no small groups. So that was a long haul. And I was sitting for most of that. And by the time I got to about, 11:30 or so, my back was not happy. My wife did jump in and help me with one spot, so that kind of saved me some time there. And but got everything put together, got everything done to the point of passable mediocrity, as we're fond of saying. Got it mounted to the helmet, got it. So yay. So, once Friday morning got there and I got all dressed up and went to the Walmart, it was just like, yay, made it. And then, of course, Saturday, after you've done it once, then Saturday's just a quick recap. We had a thing at church, and so it was a hurried recap anyways. But I got home Saturday after the thing at church, and it was just like clear sailing. I knew we had to close, but it was really clear sailing at that point, because it was like, yes. So this past week, I've been looking at the holiday schedule for 2024 and looking through what we're doing there. Obviously, I have a whole set of standard things that I can do, and I've got them mostly filled in. But I have a couple of things I may be swapping in, doing costumes for. I'm looking at that. I just still feel like there's more than I'm supposed to build for next year at this point. I mean, I could say, yep, that's it, but there's a couple of the costumes that are starting to get a little long in the tooth, and I'm thinking the suggestion that I have now, what I need to do is I just need to scan through all the months and just see what's there. And if something really, really strikes my fancy, it's quite possible I might swap some more things out. Because I like to have a few new each year. And at this point, I have the potential for two. One of them is for Bugs Bunny, and the other one is for Marvin the Martian. So I might... I might do a Bugs Bunny mascot that I would just buy because those are available. And then I might do a Marvin the Martian costume. The big trick with the Marvin the Martian costume is figuring out if there is a way I can animate the eyes on the Marvin the Martian costume using some sort of video projection or some kind of video spherical display, something. And I've been looking into possible ways of doing that, but I think that would just be a load of fun if I could animate the eyes on the Marvin the Martian helmet and round globe that is his face because he's wearing a space helmet. That would be fun. So the actual Marvin the Martian costume is pretty straightforward. I would probably go ahead and build that because it's basically just a red unitard with a few little accoutrements on it. So I just don't think that would take that much. So it's fun, but I have the feeling at this point that there's more than just two new costumes yet next year. There's something out there. So anyways, and the other thing is there's a lot of holidays because of the leap year. Instead of the holiday coming around and landing on a Wednesday, it's landing on a Thursday, and now you're right up against a Friday, and so it's basically a week away when you're celebrating, Dance Like a Chicken Day. It's like, oh, and it's next Thursday. I mean, I'm not sure it's that one, but it's that type of thing. And, I've got to decide. Anyways, so costumes are good, writing's good, work is good. All is well. It's been a good week. Nana has been living with us since she came home from the hospital. That's always fun, so it's always good. And I just forgot to mail. Okay, I'll put it in the mailbox. Well, I'll take it tomorrow and mail it. Because it'll get there quicker if I just mail it. I go in tomorrow, but I will do that. That's what happens when I get to talking. I forget what in the world I'm supposed to be doing. Anyways, we do have small groups coming over tonight. so I'm going to have to wrap this up fairly quickly. But I did come across a podcast that I would highly recommend. An episode of it. All of Jordan Peterson's stuff is good. It's always really fascinating to listen to. But he just did a podcast with John Lennox, who is... He is. I don't know what his official title is. Dr. Lennox. He's from Cambridge, I think. I think he's from Cambridge. And he's very learned and a Christian and, you know, has discussed many, many things, done many books, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's, you know, it's really fascinating to listen to these two men talk about Christianity, talk about God, talk about, and it's really fascinating to remember back into the history of where Jordan Peterson was 5-6 years ago and where he is now. And it was really good. And there were a lot of good discussions in it. But I guess the thing that made me happy is because they were saying a lot of things I've been saying, which it's always nice when you find people that agree with you. So I would highly recommend that. The name of the podcast on Jordan Peterson's podcast, it's A Conversation About God. And for the Jordan Peterson podcast, it's episode 394. And it's very good, really interesting dialogue. I'm going to get back into the garage and then we'll talk about what's on there. But there was one time in particular I went, and there it is. So interesting stuff. I mean, they were one of the things they were talking about that really resonated with me. I went, right, precisely, right. Okay, now I have to make sure that I'm not going to run into stuff in the garage. So just a second. Let me get this little guy placed in here. One of the things that was fun about it was the reinforcement of the idea I've been talking about that I can't really say it's original with me because Jesus whispers to us all. But the reinforcement of this idea of we were happy to say multiple years ago, oh, we've got science now, we don't need God. But the problem is that as soon as you walk away from God, you don't really have science anymore. Because they were rehearsing how that the scientific inquiry and method that really rose out of Western civilization, and was primarily discovered and investigated by people who were theists, at least, if not Christians. And what drove all of that discovery was the idea that the universe was discoverable and that its secrets could be revealed by diligent investigation. There was just that assumption. And that assumption was driven from the fact that there was a creator and that creator wanted us to discover these things. And so there wasn't chaos in the heavens. There was a creator who built this, who built us, and derived joy from our investigations. It's the old proverb, it is the glory of God to hide a thing and the glory of kings to seek it out. And so within that context, then it simply makes sense that you would have a scientific investigation that would rise. Of course, then science and scientific investigation and those conducting it got a little too big for their bridges, and then they britches, and then they decided, oh, well, we don't need God because we have science. The problem is that science exists on an implicit idea that scientists will be truthful, that they will be moral, that they will not preach falsehoods, and that they are willing to say, I was wrong, and go forward. And the problem is a lot of the scientists that we have now are not willing to say they were wrong. Once they've gotten set up and they've got their grants in place and they have their theories, if anyone tries to come and tell them, you know what, I don't think you got it here, you're wrong. They get their dander up and get their back up, and because it's their funding. So we don't really have science anymore. What we have is this propagation of dogma. And we have a lot of propaganda being put forth as actual scientific investigation. So that was all very interesting to hear them. They had a whole discussion about that. And the role that science plays in all of that. They talked about the logos and the word, and Dr. Lennox had an interesting viewpoint when he was saying that DNA is really just the word. It is a word of life. And so that was pretty interesting. And there was this, that, and the other, and, you know, they argued about, they made the argument that I have made in the past, and that if you believe in evolution and everything was formed by random chance, then you have to believe, you can go all the, that life started by random chance, that single-cell organisms came up by random, the multicell came about by random chance, by mutations, many of which were detrimental, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And eventually you get to, I'm an evolutionist, therefore I believe that my brain was the result of random evolution, most of which were detrimental. And yet, I'm an evolutionist. I believe that my brain is capable of understanding how life works. And John Lennox brought up that very point in different ways, but how can you even trust your brain? And I've said that in the past as well, that believing in unguided evolution is really intellectual suicide, because you can't believe anything your brain is telling you if there was no designer. But the one thing that really got me tickled was all of this was, and then I got to go because I got to get ready and got to get things done and blah, 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 blah. The one thing that got me really tickled about all of this is they started talking about the present state of biology, and John Lennox started talking about biologists who are looking at things from a systems level. And now saying, Darwin's theory of evolution does not account for this. There's too many interconnects. There's too many things that have to happen at the same time. We need something else because this will not work. And what made me laugh was they called that the third wave of biology, which is exactly, I think it was last week, it was exactly a week before last, what I was talking about with the third wave of science. That apparently the terminology for this new systems biology that's coming, that people are describing and people are talking about, is the third wave of biology. So there you go. That made me happy, made me laugh. I have to get inside and get ready for small groups. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.